morning. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Continuing to look at believers' burdens. And this morning we want to look at the burden of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll just read from verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read from verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We'll end at verse 7, and we do trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inspired word. I remember reading an article that the late Adrian Rogers, had written a number of years ago, and in it he quotes John Hunter. John Hunter has written a book entitled Knowing God's Secrets. This is what he said: medical science now recognizes that between 60 and 90% of our sicknesses are caused by such emotions as fear, sorrow, envy, resentment, and hatred. I'm not sure what he based those findings on, but if that's true, then as God's people, we need to know how to handle our emotions. If we can't handle our emotions or master our emotions will handle us, and our emotions will master us. This morning we want to think about the emotion of fear. And there's been many things in recent years to cause people to fear. Some have a great fear over environmental problems, as the fear of the melting of the ice caps and the ozone layer and things like that, which I really don't fully understand. There's been many health scares over the years. We've had bird flu and all sorts of different things. Even in recent times, there's been the carry on with horse meat and all sorts of things. And of course, there are military scares, and particularly this week or last week, we've been reminded again of the threat of terrorism to the United Kingdom, and of course we have our own threat here in our province this morning. There are many things that could cause us to fear, and many people have been gripped by fear. Many famous people. Louis XV of France was a man who so feared death. He wanted every reminder of death to be taken away from it. You weren't allowed to mention it. Every grave, every memorial, every war cenotaph in the palace were taken away because he so feared death. The great dictator Joseph Stalin was the same. He had 8 different bedrooms. He would sleep in a different bedroom each night because he had the fear of someone coming to take his life. Howard Hughes, the eccentric billionaire, was so afraid of germs that it's said that he used 4 boxes of tissues every day, wiping everything that he touched. Some of you will remember Evel Knievel. He used to get on a motorbike and jump over buses, and I think he even attempted to jump over part of the Grand Canyon at one time, but he was terrified of flying. You couldn't get him on a plane for love nor money. President and Mrs. Benjamin Harrison, when they entered the White House, they were so terrified of this newfangled thing called electricity, they wouldn't switch the lights on or off. If there were no servants there, they slept all night with the lights on because they were so terrified of electricity. Peter the Great, Tsar of Russia, was terrified to cross a bridge. They say when he put his foot on a bridge, he would cry out in fear. Louis Pasteur was so afraid of dirt and infection, he refused to shake hands with people. There are many different types of fear that people face from day to day. Clarence McCartney said, from the cradle to the grave, fear casts this baleful shadow. It's also been said that fear is man's greatest adversary. Anne Landers, who is one of these agony aunts in the United States, reports of the 10,000 letters she receives that most of them concern people's fear. People have fear of their finances, fear about their children, fear about stress, fear over the marriage. There seems to be fear in so many areas of our lives. Some are fearful of not getting the job promotion. Some are fearful of perhaps losing their job. Fearful, as I said, how their children will turn out. Fearful of perhaps having some illness. Fearful of war, terrorism. Fearful they'll never find someone to marry. And there's all sorts of fears that fill the hearts of so many people. Paul, writing to young Timothy, saying, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Are we controlled by the Holy Spirit this morning, like Samson of old? Remember, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent that lion as he would have rent a little kid. Are we filled and controlled by fear this morning? Fear can victimize us. Fear can neutralize us. Fear can monopolize us. And fear can immobilize us. Let me say something about the reality of fear. I remember mentioning this already from the pulpit one Sunday. There are, first of all, one of the first products of sin was fear. When you go back into the Garden of Eden, remember what Adam said in Genesis 3, verse 10. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. And so that's one of the first byproducts, if you like, of sin. The Greek word used for fear in the New Testament is the word phobos, where, of course, phobia comes from. Claustrophobia, the fear of enclosed places. Acrophobia, the fear of high places. Demophobia, the fear of crowds. Gamophobia, the fear of marriage. I'm told there's even ecclesiophobia, the fear of churches. But as I said before, not all fear is bad. There is pious fear. Moses, writing in Deuteronomy, said, Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is not a gripping fear of some cruel despot, but it's a reverential fear and respect for the Lord. I may have told the story before about the young girl who was asked by some of her friends to come out for a drink. When she refused, they said to her, Are you afraid of your parents finding out and then they'll hurt you? And she says, No, I'm afraid of my parents finding out and I'll hurt them. I'll hurt them. There's the fear, the reverential fear of offending or hurting God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. There's a pious fear. There's a profitable fear. There's some things that's good to fear. We teach our children that some things are hot, some things can shock, and some things can cut. And of course, we have to teach them the fear of these things. We wouldn't want them running across the road without taking due care and attention. We'd want them to be afraid of things like that. So there is a profitable fear. But then there's a paralyzing fear. Again, Solomon said in Proverbs 29, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Paul, writing in Romans 8, said, For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You see, some people are defeated and distracted and destroyed emotionally, indeed mentally, physically and spiritually, because of fear. There's the reality of fear. I don't think I have to spend much time on that this morning. Then there is the results of fear. There is the result physically. Dr. R.R. Brinker said this, Anxiety places more stress on the heart than any other stimulus, including physical exercise or fatigue. Fear produces emotional stress and the inevitable consequences of high blood pressure, heart trouble, migraine, etc., etc. One of Job's friends, Eliphaz, said this in Job 4:14. Fear came upon me in trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. Fear can affect us physically. I think all of us would understand that. Fear can affect us spiritually as well. Fear can stop us stepping out for Christ. Do you remember the parable the Lord Jesus told in Matthew 25 about the servant, the master who gave out talents to his servants? To one he gave five, to another he gave two, and to another he gave one. And when he came back, the man who had five talents had turned it into ten. The man with three talents had turned it into six. The man with one talent had buried it. And this is what he said. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. It was fear kept him from stepping out for the master. fear stopped him from investing his talents just like the others. This fear paralyzing you this morning. The fear of stepping out for the Lord. The fear of doing something for the Lord. I read a story about a farmer, and his neighboring farmer said to him, "How's your cotton coming along?" He said, "I didn't plant any." The neighbor said, "Why not?" He said, "I was afraid of the boll weevil, this insect." The neighbor says, "Well, how's your corn coming along?" He says, "I didn't plant any." "Why not?" He said, "I was afraid of the drought." "Well, how did your potatoes do?" He says, "I didn't plant any." And the other farmer says, "How come?" He says, "I'm afraid of the potato bug or blight." The neighbor says, "Well, what did you plant?" He says, "I didn't plant anything." "Why not?" He says, "I was just playing it safe." And you know, that's what the man was doing. He was playing it safe. He thought the best thing to do was not to get involved, not to try to do anything with his talent. Fear has kept many of God's people from doing what the Lord wants them to do. Sometimes fear keeps people from being baptized. Fear keeps people from looking for membership in the local assembly. Fear stops people from getting involved in the Lord's work. Fear can stop us from giving because we have financial fears. Fear stops us from really making Jesus Christ Lord of our lives because we are afraid of what it might involve. Fear can stop you stepping out for Christ. It also can stop you from standing up for Christ. I wonder, is this the problem with young Timothy? And I don't want to criticize Timothy. He's a man, and I wouldn't like to be trying to tie his shoelaces. What a man of God he was. But it seems he was afraid. And Paul says, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In verse 8, Paul says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Is there a hint there that somehow Timothy was getting cold feet? You know, Paul had been in prison. Paul had been persecuted. And there may have been something that young Timothy was afraid of. And Paul's telling him, "Look, don't be afraid. If you've got fear and it's stopping you speaking out for Jesus Christ, well, God didn't give it to you. Because he hasn't given us the spirit of fear. And so if you've got that, you certainly didn't get it from the Lord." Dr. Roland Weevil, in his book Evangelism, Christ's Imperative Commission, said this: "Fear is the number one reason for Christians not witnessing." I don't think we'd need to read that in the book. I think that's what we all know. Fear stops us from standing up for Jesus Christ. Fear stops us from stepping out for Jesus Christ. You see the reality of fear. You see the result of fear. And there are many other fears that we can have. The fear of old age. The fear of different things. Sicknesses and death and financial setbacks. And you know, when you come to the Bible, you see some of the greatest men of God, and they had fearful experiences. Abraham lied about Sarah because of fear. Jacob was filled with fear because of Esau. Moses feared Pharaoh. Moses also feared rejection. Remember the disciples, they feared the storm. And so some of these great men of God had fear as well. We see some more in a moment. You see the reality of fear. You see the result of fear. But then I want to think about the remedy for fear. The remedy we find in the Word of God. More than anything else, the Lord says, "Fear not." I think if you look at the fear nots on their own, there are over 100 in the Bible. Someone has said, I've never checked the authenticity of this, if you take the fear nots and be not afraid and all the exhortations that the Lord has not to fear, there are supposed to be 365 of them. One for every day of the year. Because the Lord knew that fear would be something that would affect all of us. David was filled with fear. And David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And there are times when we don't fear, but there are times when we do. God had to say to Abraham to fear not. God had to say to Moses to fear not. God had to say to Joshua, to Jeremiah, to Daniel to fear not. When you come into the New Testament, God said to Zechariah, Mary, the shepherds, to Peter, to Paul, and to John, fear not. And if those great men and women of God were filled with fear, and God had to say, fear not, then I think you and I will be filled with fear from time to time. Fear, according to the Lord Jesus, is due to a lack of faith. Remember what he said in Mark 4, verse 40. He said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" This is really what I want to think about this morning. What is the remedy for our fear? What is the help we can get for our fear this morning? I just want to think about the Trinity. And I want to think about God the Father to begin with. And I want to say that God the Father, He reigns. And if God the Father reigns, if God is truly in control this morning, then we shouldn't have any fear. You know, there are some fear knots that are associated with the Christmas message. I have read many sermons and I've preached it many times myself, the fear knots of Christmas. Remember the story of Zacharias, Luke 1 verse 13. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Don't be afraid, your prayers are answered. That's a wonderful fear knot. Then, of course, there was the fear knot to the angel, to the shepherds. Remember, shepherds were viewed as the lowest of the low. To be a shepherd was seen as to be an outcast. And yet in Luke 2, the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And it's a fear not. Don't you worry what other people think about you. Don't you be afraid. Don't you think because the world might put you down that the Lord will put you down, because He's not in the business of putting people down. But I want to think of Mary and Joseph. And think about Mary and Joseph, and they're very much in love, and plans are afoot for the big wedding day. The guest lists have been prepared. Mary was a good young woman. Joseph was equally a good young man. The sort of couple, and people would look at them and say they're just meant for each other. She was happy. Everything was running along smoothly. The future was bright. She was looking forward to that day when she would come together with the husband and they would be together for the rest of her lives. And then something happened. Something was going to change. In Luke 1 verse 30, the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. She was going to have a son. She was going to be the mother of the Messiah. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? What are the people going to say? What are the people going to think? She'll be the object of laughter and ridicule. She's going to be pregnant before she's married. You can imagine in a little town like Nazareth what this was going to be like and how it would spread and what people would think of her. In Luke 1 verse 38, Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And so Mary heard the fear not. And she obeyed the Lord. But then what about Joseph? The girl of his dreams is going to be expecting a child. Everything he ever worked for, everything he ever wanted, is up in smoke. Everything was worked out in Joseph's mind. We read Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. I wonder, did Mary not tell Joseph? I wonder, did she tell him? And Joseph said, that's a likely story. All his expectations were wrecked. The girl he loved had betrayed him, but he still loved her. He wanted to deal with it quietly. He didn't want a public exposition of her. He didn't want her to be stoned to death because he really loved Mary. But while he thought in these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And God says to Joseph, you hold on, I'm still in control. Hold on, Joseph, things haven't gone astray. And Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. Mary and Joseph's plans were thrown into uproar. All that they had thought was going to happen, God had worked it out differently, in a different way. But you know, God says to them, fear not, because I'm in control. And I wonder this morning, has your plans been turned upside down? Has things happened in your life that you never expected? There's a chaos, there's a crisis, there's been much crying. And all of a sudden this has come into your life. You didn't look for it, you didn't want it, you didn't expect it. And you're wondering, has God made a mistake this morning? And the Lord wants to say to you this morning, fear not. Fear not, God the Father is still in the throne. Fear not, I am in control this morning. Remember what Paul said? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Do you remember what Joseph said when we looked at our studies in Joseph? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as to this day to save much people alive. And that little phrase, God meant it unto good, that's hard for us to take, isn't it? How could any good come from a situation like this? How could any good come from my crisis? And I won't patronize you this morning. And I'm not going to use fluffy words this morning. But I know in my life, if you can get a hold of this truth, that God is in control and that God the Father reigns, what a difference it makes to our fears. Peter says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations." I'm not going to read this out this morning, but there's someone who's written a book for children called A Chance World, and it talks about if the sun didn't rise and the moon didn't come at the right time and things just happened by chance, and if gravity didn't work the way gravity worked, rather than you coming down, you went up, and some days you're up and some days you're down. It just talks about a chance world and what a chaotic world it would be. Warren Wiersbe said, "There are no accidents, only appointments with God." I just read a little story this morning. It's from a man called James Hewitt. And he tells about as a young lad, he used to go to his granny's house. It was 9 miles away from his own home. And he said one night when just they were ready to set out, the fog dropped. And he says to his mum, "Mummy, are we going to make it home? Mummy, will we be all right?" And she says, "You're all right, son. Daddy knows the way." Daddy had travelled that way so many times. Daddy could travel his way back home to granny's, back and forth, because he could do it with his eyes closed. He says, "Your father knows the way." Dear child of God, this morning, I don't know the way. And I really don't know how things will work out for you. But your father knows exactly how things will work out for you. God the Father, He reigns. Come to Mark 16 for a moment, because I want to talk about God the Son. If we think about God the Father who reigns, we think about God the Son, and He has risen. Mark chapter 16. This is resurrection morning. Look at Mark 16 verse 5. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted," or "don't be afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Look at verse 8. "And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled. And they were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." You see, they were fearful, but you know they're also forgetful. The Lord had told them over and over again that He was going to rise from the dead. He told them He would suffer at the hands of men. He told them that He would rise again. But you know, we are fearful and we can become forgetful. And the Word of God is a wonderful remedy for our fears. Now, turn over to Romans 1. And I just want to read this so that you can see it to yourselves. Romans 1, verse 1. Romans 1 verse 1. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." See the word declared. In the Greek, it's the word horizo. It's where we get our English word horizon. It's translated two different ways in Scripture. Sometimes it's translated by ordaining or appointing. God sets out the limits. God appoints the limits in our lives. It also, like the horizon, it marks out the difference. When you look at the horizon, you can see where the earth meets the sky. It marks out the difference between the earth and the sky. Jesus Christ was horizon. The difference was marked out because of His resurrection from the dead. Because He rose from the dead, He has been horizoned. He has been set out as being different. Different from anyone else. Because He rose from the dead. He's declared to be the Son of God. But what is the horizon? The horizon is a boundary. It's a boundary. And sometimes there are things that, that are our horizons. We're bound in because of them. We can't go beyond the horizon. We seem to be held in, and sometimes it's fear. And when you think about Jesus Christ declared to be the Son of God because of the resurrection, there is no boundary. There is no boundary that He cannot move. There is nothing that can hold you in. Paul says, "What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us ward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places?" Paul said, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." Will you let Jesus Christ be your horizon? And nothing can hold you in, and nothing can hold you back. And those fears can be dealt with because He is the powerful, risen Savior this morning. You see, God the Father reigns, doesn't He? God the Son has risen. When we come to 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, our reading this morning, we see God the Holy Spirit, and He resides. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind." You think of power and you think of love. Think of the power that Jesus Christ had when He rose from the dead. Think of that power this morning. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Are you filled with fear this morning? Think of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you see the passion as well here. "But ye shall receive power." In 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love." Do you remember what John said? "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." And as I've said many times, your love for Christ and my love for Christ is not perfect. And it's not talking about your love for Him. It's talking about His love for you. And when you think of God the Father, and God the Father is in control this morning, and God the Father has a perfect love for you. We sang already this morning, "The Father's hand will never cause His child a needless tear." And you see, when you put this all together this morning, what are we afraid of this morning? God the Father, He reigns this morning. What is it we're worried about this morning? He's still in control. God the Son has risen this morning. What is so powerful that God the Son, the risen one, the horizon one, can't enlarge your coast this morning? And God the Holy Spirit, He resides within you. And what's the result of the residing of the Holy Spirit? "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind." That word "sound" speaks of discipline. It speaks of discernment. And this is how it works. And I think I've explained this before. When we know that God the Father reigns, when we know that God the Son has risen, when we know that God the Holy Spirit resides within us, then whatever we're afraid of, when we think of all of these things, we have a sound mind. And we start to reason it out. Say, look, if God's in control, and if God the Son has given me that power to live for Him, and if God the Holy Spirit is living in my heart, then what have I to fear this morning? Has God made a mistake? Has God somehow forgotten about me? Has God somehow turned His back on me? And of course, none of these things are true. And this is why we need a sound mind. And I know when I'm filled with fear, I so often have an unsound mind. My mind doesn't think straight. I forget that God's in control and I think I'm in control. I forget I've got the Spirit of God dwelling in me to give me that sound mind. I forget about the power of the Son of God, which is promised to the believers, that it'll work through us. I forget about all these things. And I don't think straight. And I don't have a sound mind. Of an unsound mind. Then we begin to be paralyzed by fear, rather than overcoming our fear. I read a story about a professional thief. He acted during the time of the stagecoaches in the United States. He robbed 29 different stagecrews. He had a mask over his face. They were terrified of him. The newspapers had this picture of this villain with a gun riding a big horse throughout the mountains, and people were filled with fear about Black Bart. He never had to fire a shot. In fact, he was scared of horses. He had to ride to the different places in the buggy, and then he would stand up with this black hood on him, and the people were so scared they just gave him whatever he wanted. He never had to say anything, really. He just used fear to paralyze the people. When he was unmasked, they discovered he was just a mild-mannered chemist from Illinois. And yet Black Bart had robbed so many people of so many things. Is there a Black Bart in your life this morning that's robbing you of so much? And your God wants to unmask him this morning and say, "Look, God the Father reigns. God the Son has risen. And God the Holy Spirit resides within you. Now, what are you afraid of this morning?" Again, I was just reading this morning about the Native Americans. One of the things you used to do when a young lad reached 13 years of age, the boys and girls here can thank the Lord, they're not Native Americans. They used to blindfold the children, take them out into the deepest and the darkest wood when it was pitch black. The blindfold would be removed and they would be there. Just there. Every little twig that would make a noise, the children would be terrified. Remember, they're on their own. Every movement, every noise, every sound. And this was to prepare them for things to come and to try and to take the fear out of them. And you know, they would be there, they would spend the night, they would be absolutely terrified when the morning would break. And they would see the flowers, they would see around them, they would see the trees. Then they would look around and they would see a figure of a man standing. And that was the father of the young boy. He was standing there right throughout the night to make sure nothing would happen to the young lad. He wasn't aware of it, but the father was there all the time. Could I say to you this morning, like the two on the road to Emmaus, sometimes you're not aware of it. But when you're filled with fear, remember that your father is standing right beside you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning that the Spirit of God will just touch hearts this morning. And Lord, you know us. We know we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But Lord, you know all about us. And Lord, you know about our fears. Some this morning might have financial fears, employment fears, maybe family fears. But we know there are some have physical fears, health scares, and different problems to face. Lord, we just ask that the God of all comfort would draw nigh to his people. And Lord, if thy children hear nothing this morning except two words from the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, it'll be enough. Lord, we're just asking now that you would whisper right into the hearts of thy fearful children this morning, "Fear not." Lord, like Isaiah said, "I will trust and not be afraid." So Lord, draw nigh and help us this morning. Pray, Lord, if there's any here and fear has stopped them from stepping out for Jesus Christ, Lord, help them to realize that God hasn't given them that spirit of fear. Lord, if fear stops us from speaking up for Jesus Christ, we know that God hasn't given us that spirit of fear. So, Lord, we're asking for Holy Ghost boldness, that we may stand up and step out and speak up for our lovely Savior. Bless thy word to our hearts this morning. Lord, there may even be some here and they're not saved because they're afraid. Afraid of what others will think. Lord, we pray that you would help them to realize it's the fearful and the unbelieving that John tells us will be lost for all eternity. So, Lord, help us to deal with their fears.
And Lord, may we have faith this morning to trust our Savior for salvation, and indeed, Lord, for even just our daily walk with Thee. The just shall live by faith. Bless Thy word to our hearts, for we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. I'm going to sing in closing for this part of the service from Songs of Victory, number 552. My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly Thine. 552, and we'll stand and sing together. Thank you.
Do bless those who must leave us now. And Lord, may we know a continued sense of Thy presence as we gather around the Lord's table to remember the Lord. For we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.